It is when we are engaged in earnest work, working according to our different abilities, that God manifests himself to us and gives us his grace. It's when we are earnestly working for God that God comes and works in our lives. A church whose members are found upon their knees before God, begging his mercy, seeking him daily, is a church that is truly feeding upon the bread of life. I don't know if you realize it, but Ellen White says you measure the spiritual temperature of the church at the prayer meeting. That's a sobering thought. Did you know that? If that's the case, then there's a lot of churches that need a lot of energy to up the temperature of the church. I'm not throwing stones. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Well, I believe that. I'm not here to throw stones. Someone said, not an Adventist, said that you can see if the church is popular in the morning service, if the pastor is popular in the afternoon service, but you see if Jesus is popular at the midweek prayer service. And I think that's true. But Ellen White says you can actually measure the spiritual temperature of the church at the midweek prayer service. And secondly, that no pastor can be successful without a strong prayer meeting or praying people behind him. We just cannot do it on ourselves. So here she says, a working church, welcome. A working church, working for souls, will be a praying church. Okay, so a working church is a praying church. It's a believing church and a receiving church as well. Now, I heard, you know, a little bit about your discussion here about the challenges. We all have challenges, medical challenges and challenges for our parents. I took care of my mom and my dad for years for some of the very reasons that the brother mentioned, because I was concerned that I didn't want them to be in a home for the elderly, even though I was a licensed nursing home administrator, so I know about that, and I thought we gave good care. But anyway, I was home with my mom, but it's when we're seeking to work for God that somehow the blessings come. Now, last summer, Rose and I, we spent 3 months in Mauritius, Reunion Island, and Madagascar. And in the course of that, we heard some amazing stories of people who were brought to the Lord in the simplest ways that I believe could work right here in London. And I'm thinking of one mother, her name was Marie-Claude, who was struggling financially because they were renting a home they really couldn't afford. Her husband was having to take a bus to another town, and he often got there late. And she began doing what? She began praying, saying, God, would you please help us? Because we can't really afford to pay for this. I don't want to have to work. I want to stay home to raise my children. I want to have time to witness for you. If you would please give us a cheaper house to rent, an affordable house to rent, I'll stay home with the children and I'll be busy working for you. Twice she had dreams during the middle of the night where she was shown a key that impressed her. And one day her husband came home and he said to her, and he had a key with him. He said, some friends told me about this house. I think you should go look at it. And she did. And she went to see the house, and it was quite a nice house, you know, an acceptable house, let's put it that way. Not a fancy house, a small house, but in a very poor neighborhood, and it was being sold for all of $50 U.S. approximately. That's not much money for a house. You know why it was so cheap? It was the house of a witch. They'd just driven the witch out of the neighborhood, and no one wanted to buy the house of a witch. How many of you would want to buy the house of a witch? You probably wouldn't. But she'd had this dream and seen the key twice, and she felt like God had told her that they were to buy it. And, you know, it's a good Seventh-day Adventist. She knew that there isn't such a thing as ghosts, right? Yeah, we believe what the Bible teaches. So she bought the house, and she had to clean up the courtyard and had to clean up the walls because you could see that it was a house that had been owned by a witch. Well, one day the witch came with another witch to visit with these Adventists that had purchased her house. If you've read the books of Roger Morneau, you know that the devil does not like Adventists more than just about anyone else, because we know the truth that disarms him. And so this witch came. She said, we're here to celebrate with you. She had some bottles of her brew, and Marie-Claude said, I'm sorry, I'm in Seventh-day Adventist. I don't drink alcoholic beverages. I cannot drink that. And the lady said, well, just share a couple of glasses so that we can celebrate for you. And I loved her answer. She said, I'm sorry, but every one of my glasses is dedicated to God, and not even one of those is available for you. Now, My brothers and sisters, just imagine what it would be like if you could honestly say, and we should be able to, that there is nothing in my home that is not dedicated to God. There is nothing in my home that's not here with God's permission and God's blessing. That's what she said, and I love that. And she said, furthermore, my table is dedicated to God. Take your bottle off my table. So the witch got upset, and the two of them left. And she went to her children and said, children, we must pray because that witch is going to cause us trouble. And so they prayed, and nothing seemed to happen for quite a while. And then one day when she went to her church, suddenly her son became very sick with a high fever, and so they rushed him off to a clinic. And by the time they got there, he was already somewhat rigid. And the doctor said, don't bother to take him to the hospital, take him to a relative if you have a relative close by, because he's going to be dead in just a few minutes. And so they took the little boy to her parents' home that lived in that town in Maibourg, and there they cried out to God to please heal that little boy. And God heard their prayers, because suddenly, she said, his arm flopped out and he began to urinate, and they knew that this little boy was coming back to life. And sure enough, soon he was well. And the grandfather, who had not been a believer, became a believer as a result of the miracle that took place. It's a wonderful story. Well, she told us how when she'd moved into that neighborhood, all the neighbors were Catholics, and they were not happy that a Seventh-day Adventist had moved into town, and so they had mistreated her children and made life difficult for them. But when we got there, I was quite amazed, because she said, if you see that house, that's a house of Adventists there, and that's a house of Adventists. And she pointed all around her neighborhood of many, many people who'd become Seventh-day Adventists. And I was wondering, how did this happen? How did you win so many people to believe in our last day message? And she explained. She explained that at some point a man in the neighborhood had died, had passed away. And because there was so much superstition against the dead body, that no one was willing to do anything with the dead body. So she volunteered to wash the body, to sew clothes for the body, to dress the body, to do what others, you know, were unwilling to do. And she said, out of that, I won their confidence. And she says, nowadays, if you go around the neighborhood, there is no one that doesn't respect me. And she said, it all began back then. And she said, what happened? And this is what you can all do. She said, I went to my neighbors and I said, every day during the week, or not every day, but at these times during the week, I pray. And if you're struggling in your marriage, if you're having financial difficulties, if your kids are giving you a difficult time, you come to my house at that time and we will pray together. And they began coming and praying together, and she would give them a Bible study on a miracle of Jesus, showing that God can change people's lives. And she said, one by one, the people began taking Bible studies to join the Adventist church. And when I was holding the meetings, I was quite amazed, because it was a little church, not a very large church, longer than this, but in the pews that were kind of squeezed together, on the right-hand side, there were three rows filled with children. And they didn't seem to be attached to anyone. I didn't know what the situation was. And I asked, and she explained these are actually Catholic children that the lady in charge of their catechism sends to the Adventist church, because she has so much confidence in the Adventist church. You know, that kind of soul winning should be the rule, not the exception. Now, let me ask a slightly personal question. How many of you ever pray for your neighbors? We all should. You know that? If we all prayed for our neighbors, I bet God would use us to reach our neighbors more than we do. What if instead of praying for our neighbors, we were to go to the door and say, you know, we're praying for you. And if you're struggling, come to our home, because we pray on a regular basis and we'll pray with you. What if you had the joy of beginning to see people coming to your church with you, because they've actually seen miracles take place in their lives as a result of your prayers? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing? There's a power in prayer. And so I repeat this statement of Ellen White, where she says, a working church and travail for souls, in other words, seeking God and working for souls, will be a praying church, a believing church, and a receiving church. Okay, when we're trying to seek souls, automatically we begin praying. We believe that somehow God will be able to do the impossible, and God begins to answer our prayers. Mm-hmm. Now, Mary, your pastor mentioned that next week I'll be speaking here as a week-long week of prayer, and I'm asking that you would pray and ask God to bless that time together. We're going to be studying the building and the dedication of the Temple of Solomon. You know, when I was told about how, you know, you had been spending a lot of time rebuilding the sanctuary, it struck me, what better topic than to consider the time when they built that amazing temple in the time of Solomon and dedicated it. We're going to learn about people who chose to follow God's pattern. We're going to learn about how David and others were so generous in giving to be able to get the materials, the precision and the care with which it was built, the solemn dedicatory service when the building was dedicated and the members rededicated themselves to what they wanted to do with that temple. And we will learn about Solomon's wonderful, you know, put Christ first kind of prayer, asking for wisdom to be a godly leader, and how God came back and said, because you've, you know, done the seek ye first, because you've chosen for wisdom, I will bless you with honor and riches. But think about this. Though that first temple was amazing in every way, truly, it was one of the great wonders of the ancient world. After it was destroyed and God was encouraging regarding the second temple, he said, actually, that second temple will be a greater temple. Externally, it wasn't as magnificent, but it was still more beautiful. Why was it more beautiful? Because instead of having something that would reveal God through shadowy symbols, God himself in the person of Jesus would be there. And that would make that temple even greater. Where is Jesus now? He's in the heavenly sanctuary, interceding on behalf of what? The people who've now become his living temples. And I want to tell you that when we get serious about letting God construct our lives, and when we dedicate our lives, similar to what they did back then, the glory that came to that ancient temple, God wants to put into our lives as well. Listen to this quotation. It is the privilege. It's the privilege of every soul to be a living channel through which God can communicate to the world the treasures of his grace. It is our privilege to become the conduit, the channel through which God blesses the people around us, the people we work with, the people in our neighborhoods. There is nothing that Christ desires so much as agents who will represent to the world his spirit and his character. There's nothing the world needs so much as a representation of God's love, not man's love, but God's love. And all heaven is waiting for those channels through which that holy oil will be poured out. Would you like to be one of God's agents? God wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. And if he finds a welcome response, and if he feels comfortable living in us, he will begin to use us in mighty, mighty ways. And that's what we're going to be studying about next week. You remember what Jesus told the disciples? He said, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And so this evening, as we spend more time in prayer, I'd like us to pray about a couple of things. Pray first for the harvest. Did you know that you have a huge church waiting to be called to join God's remnant people? Did you know that? I believe they're the honest in heart all around us. And God is waiting to tell them to come to our churches. I believe with all my heart when God can, the Spirit will tell people, today's the day to come to the Stanbrough Park Church. And they will come and they will say, the Holy Spirit said that I was to come today. I believe that. And then pray that we will seek to be the people and that our fellow members will seek to be the people that God can graciously pour out an abundant of blessing. And on a very practical basis, that people will modify their schedules, maybe reconfigure their priorities next week so that they will come every evening to be a part of this process of learning and committing ourselves to being all that God wants us to be here at the Stanbrook Park Church. What do you think? Mm-hmm. Let's pray. Our churches are meant to be the most wonderful manifestations of the presence and the glory of God. We want to restore that presence, that glory right here in London. So if you're willing, I don't know how much time is left. If we could take time as Mary directs us, I'll turn it over to you to spend the time praying and asking for God's blessing for the lost and for the meetings and for ourselves, that we would be willing participants in the blessing God wants to bring.